She goes up there, and then she'll have a little break after that, no matter what happens. She'll have a nice few weeks off, and we'll have a think about where the races are for her and what she could run in against the mares, or probably, or whatever, because come August she's a mare. So, yeah. Well, it's very exciting for me, for sure.
Yeah, it's a big thrill, and just the one owner in the horse?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mr. Price and his family, his son as well, and that. But they just bought her at the sales and done a great job finding her.
They're enjoying it. Well, mate, we'll watch for the fields and particularly Saturday morning to see. I guess you accept this time tomorrow and then you just leave her there and wait and see how she is on race morning.
That's right, Andrew. Exactly that. Yeah, for sure, mate. Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you, Kev. Well done. I've been a follower of her, and there's a few in Toowoomba I'm following. I had Paul Fakiri on last week with Swindler's Miss, and there's a couple of other nice horses from Toowoomba. You're going well there at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had a good lot of trainers up here in the past, like Jim Atkins, for sure. Had so many great horses, and we're just trying to follow along and chip away at it, sort of thing, you know. Yeah.
Well done to you, Kev. We'll wait for Soul for Song and race morning and see what happens, but well done on Saturday.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Kevin Kemp there from Toowoomba with Soul for Song, the winner of the last, the Daybreak Lover. At this stage, you'd probably off that feel that she'll be going there to the Sunshine Coast Guineas. Just on that horse too, Paul Fakiri, I spoke to last Thursday, Swindler's Miss. Missed a gallop because of all the wet conditions last week at Toowoomba and wasn't entered for Saturday's Sunshine Coast Guineas, but certainly on track to run July 13 in the Grafton Guineas there, a part of the big July carnival. That's it for Racing HQ this morning. Oh, just on the point, Sunshine Coast at the moment for Saturday, it's a soft 6. It's meant to be an okay week. They did get a little bit of rain yesterday morning, but at the moment it's a soft 6 for the last of the big features, the Sunshine Coast on Saturday. Tomorrow morning, of course, at 9:30, we'll have our 30-minute preview for racing at Warwick Farm. It's a fine day, as we know, outside. Soft 6, penetrometer 5.34. Soft 6 at this stage for Warwick Farm. That full preview tomorrow morning between 9:30 and 10. I'll see you then. After the break, it's Tab Talk with Sean and Andrew Giorgio. They'll be talking NRL. They'll talk about racing today at Kempsey. And, of course, at 10:30, it's Gareth Hall and On the Pace.
Technology is everywhere these days. Research shows that when you give the bleeping gadgets a break and just add nature, you're far more likely to grow healthier, happier and closer.
Nature is recommended for all ages. Side effects may include feeling good for no reason. Ask your doctor if nature is right for you.
Get a dose of nature. Join Planet Ark, Toyota and thousands of Australians for doctor recommended National Tree Day on Sunday, July the 31st. For your health, for your loved ones, for the planet, join us.
Why are schools telling boys they can wear girls' uniforms? If a boy feels like he's a girl, should schools be telling him he can be a girl? Find out what controversial sex education programs are really teaching your kids at school. Go to kidsrights.org.au. Spoken by C. Elliott, authorised T. Kelleher, the Australian Family Association, Bourne.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Gardens Road, Link Road, we'll get this breakdown just about moved on, but still very heavy northbound traffic. Significant delays is what we're looking at there. The 5 is back to Belmore Road eastbound, the M4 Prospect Highway all the way down at James Bruce Drive, still very slow and congested. Warringah Freeway, steady traffic flow inside the City Harbour Tunnel. North Connex, nighttime lane closures in place tonight. The Hills M2 between Barclay, Windsor Roads, delays expected both directions. Details at northconnex.com.au. I'm Silvio on Sky Sports Radio.
Winter is coming. There's no better way to shake off the winter blues than with a Christmas in July celebration at Rose Hill Gardens. Warm yourself up with a traditional festive lunch. Plus, watch all the racing action with spectacular views of the home straight. Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. It's the perfect place to catch up with family and friends. Book your place today at theatc.com.au. That's theatc.com.au.
Bing Lee's LGTV clearance is now on with amazing, never-before-seen prices across the LGTV range. Head into Bing Lee and check out the LGTV clearance while stocks last. Must end June 30.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the
very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrave here at tab.com.au. Andrew Georgie. Good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, good morning, Cosy.
Well, who would have thought we'd get two in a week? England have made an exit from the Euro. From the Union there, the main exit from Euro 2016. Iceland have belted them.
Yeah, that's right, Cosy. Interesting to note what the double would have been for them to leave the Euro and then for them to have lost that game against Ireland early this morning.
Unbelievable. Now, Iceland, I mean, we tend to look and think, how the hell could Iceland beat England? But they were performing pretty well.
Well, that's right, Cosy, and it must be remembered that they actually topped their qualifying group to come into Euro 2016. So it wasn't a total fluke, and they haven't been playing bad football either throughout the tournament.
Well, it must have been a shock to England.
Well, very much so. I mean, at the end of the day, they hadn't really performed well during the group stages, but they've somehow come into the round of 16 with the easiest opponent out of the lot. And again, they've somehow lost a game that they probably should have won in a major tournament.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And as you said, I wonder what the odds would have been with them Britain exiting from the European Union. They called that Brexit. Then exiting from the soccer, maybe they'll call that Sexit. Who knows? They'll come up with a nickname for it somewhere along the way.
Yeah,
but Iceland will be celebrating long and hard, I would imagine.
Well, that's right. And even if they fall at the next hurdle, which is more than likely because they are playing the tournament hosts, France, it really doesn't matter. They've made the quarterfinals of a major tournament for the first time. So really, anything that they do now is just icing on the cake.
Well, already the jokes are coming out. Instead of God help us, they're saying Cod help us. They're giving it to the English left, right and centre. Matty Russell joins us now to take a look at the NRL. Morning, Matt.
Good morning, gentlemen. In fact, I just asked Stephen Blocker Roach, what do you reckon Canberra's Michael Hodgson would say to England's Roy Hodgson if they crossed in the street? And Blocker said, don't come and coach in Canberra, we've got enough.
Fair enough, too. Interesting round of the NRL, the Panthers-Rabbitohs. I didn't think that would be that close.
No, and it took a comeback by South Sydney to make it that close. That's the way we got going last week on a bitterly cold evening in Penrith. The Panthers 28, South Sydney 26. I tell you what, Nathan Cleary, the young number 7, I know we are only a few games into his young career, but gee, he looks like his father. He is cool, calm, collected, so composed, and he got belted a couple of times the other night when he received some dodgy passes, but handled the contact, kept his head, and he might be the Penrith number 7 for a long time to come. And who knows what heights he's going to reach in the game. You don't want to put too much pressure on the young man, but already people are saying that he could play 10 years as the New South Wales halfback. Gee, that might be putting the horse before the cart, but he is certainly a player to watch, especially when you combine him with Bryce Cartwright and a host of other youngsters in that Penrith lineup. If they can get on a roll, I don't know whether I'd like to be playing them through September because they're a young, enthusiastic, promising team.
Matt, you talk about the rise of Nathan Cleary. Have we seen the last of Jamie Soward now?
It's a very good question. On current form, I don't know how Jamie's going to force his way back into the team. And obviously, he's much closer to the end of his career than he is the start. So, look, if they keep playing like they did against South Sydney the other night and don't pick up any injuries, yes, we probably have seen the last of Jamie at NRL level. Let's hope that his career is given a chance to sort of finish on a higher note than where he is at the moment. But at this stage, it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Now, the game, the Storm West game, what happened with Storm? They had him just on the ropes.
Yeah, 26-0 at halftime. We're thinking, this is going to be 50. How are we going to breathe some life into this contest? What sort of records are they looking to break? And before we knew it, after the resumption, the Tigers had scored 4 tries. It was 26-20. They had all the momentum, and really, I thought we were looking at 26-all and possibly golden point, but enter Cooper Cronk. He landed a crucial drop goal, and then Cam Smith iced it with a penalty goal. And I've just mentioned the two names who made the difference. They weren't there against the Dragons a week earlier, and the Storm looked a little rudderless, a little lost. Enter Cronk and Smith. I was lucky enough to be sitting sideline at Amy Park, and when you take your eyes off the play and just watch them, the amount of organising and marshalling and cajoling of their teammates. It is quite phenomenal.
Back on one sec, Matty. Just jumped out in front.
Ginger Snag is trying to improve. They're followed on the inside by Gordy Jr. off the track. Black Trikes around the corner. Favourite in front, Charlie Runkle trying hard. Tricky Action. Charlie Runkle beat Tricky Action, Ben Jamming. And then it's tight between Gordy Jr. and Black Trikes. Back we go, length for two there, too. The next one there would have been Ginger Snag. They're followed back. We go to Feral Hokey. And that was back near the tail of the field.
129 there, number one, Charlie Runkle. 170, 140. Now, two Tricky Action, $3.90. No third nine, Ben Jamming, 1, 2, and 9. It's interesting, as you said, Matty, when the key players like that just jump in and take over, the difference it makes.
Yeah, the effect watching those two on Melbourne is just phenomenal, and that's why they were able to hold on the other day. If Cronk and Smith weren't there, then they don't beat the Tigers. But it's a win that the Storm will say probably feels more like a loss, given the way we led at half time. But you know, two more points in the premiership bank. They sit safely in the top four, and they're a very good team. They're a premiership contender without doubt. Let's remember the other day, they didn't have Cameron Munster in the fullback position. They didn't have Blake Green there either. So the Storm, with their own excuses, maybe for a fade badly in the second half.
And speaking of fading badly, what about yesterday's game? Monday night footy, Cowboys cruising against Manly. And then Manly stormed right back in that second half, had a real good chance to win the match, but then they just fell away at the end.
Yeah, I think most people yesterday were saying, well, how much the Cowboys? Is it 30, 40, 50? But in the end, it was a four-point ball game. Cowboys 30 over Manly 26. Trent Barrett this morning saying on Fox Sports News, our best performance in a long time, but at the end of the day, we're still being beaten. And I reckon the Cowboys are probably a bit like the Melbourne Storm. Would have liked to win by more, but at least they wake up with the premiership points. And from a positive point of view, Jason Taumalolo with a double. I enjoy watching him play so much. A big, robust forward. It belies understanding how he can be so light on his feet carrying such a huge frame. And he's 23 years of age, and that was game 101. He's in his seventh season of NRL, believe it or not, and he's 23. So who knows how the career of Jason Taumalolo is going to go from here, but I love the way North Queensland has been patient. They've been happy to ease him in rather than giving way to temptation and burdening him early in his career and maybe burning him out. So Taumalolo, he's paying the rewards now.
Is Manly and South, are they cooked for the year now?
Definitely. I thought they were cooked last week, maybe the week before, but they won't be playing finals footy, I'm sure. There are too many holes for them at the moment, and the coaches now have to ask themselves, well, what do we want to achieve in the back end of this season with a view to 2017? Do we look to blood some new players? Do we look to change positions a little bit with what we're going to do for 2017? I don't believe either of those teams can play finals footy in 2016.
Broncos, the fact they had about half a dozen players roughly from the State of Origin playing, was the edge just off them a bit?
Yeah, that's part of it, but I reckon part of it has to be also the Bulldogs, who won 40-14. Wayne Bennett said it. You can't blame Origin purely for that lopsided scoreline. Brett Morris back with three tries on his return from a serious knee injury. Sam Cassiano scored his second career double, the first of which was like a basketball slam dunk. He almost pushed the ball through to China as he forced it down. Big Sam, I love seeing him score. And all of a sudden now the Dogs will chase three straight wins for the first time this season against the Roosters this weekend. So I give them a chance of doing that. And they're a team that might take that final position in the top four. If you look at the Sharks being locked away, North Queensland and Melbourne, then it's out of Canberra, the Bulldogs and Brisbane, I think, who's going to grab that other top four spot and have home advantage through the finals. So there's a big prize on offer, and I think the Dogs are positioning themselves well.
It looks like they're starting to come good, Matt. And for mine, I think it coincides with the fact that Will Hopewadi has been a regular starter for them over the last month or so. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, very good point. Obviously, he missed three games there because of his religious beliefs, sitting out Sunday games. It will be very interesting, won't it, to see what happens if they play in a grand final on a Sunday evening. Will Hopewadi, maybe he's already made his decision. Maybe he's already said, I'm not going to play. But imagine sitting in the grandstands, watching your team play, knowing you could have been out there, but understanding that your faith comes first and you're going to adhere to that stance you've taken. It'll be hard for Dogs fans as well, I'd imagine. But as I said, I'm never going to criticise him for sticking to his belief. Good luck to him. He's allowed to do that, and I admire him for it. I do struggle to understand how you're allowed to do that in this environment, given there are doctors, nurses, firemen, firewomen who can't do that. They've got to go to work when they're told to go to work.
Now, the Sharks-Warriors game was almost like top and bottom to a degree meeting there, but it didn't. The scoreboard didn't reflect that.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a good game on paper, Cosy, and that's how it turned out, because the Sharks, 11 wins in a row now. The Warriors went into it having won three in a row, and it came down to golden point with James Maloney squirting the ugliest field goal you've ever seen over. And, 11 straight. They did it in 2002, the Sharks. They did it across the 77-78 seasons. It's only the third time they've gone 11 straight, and I'm backing them to make it 12 straight for the first time in club history by beating the Eels this weekend. And as a nice little poignant touch to this, Cronulla lost club great Greg Pearce 24 hours before the game. Now, Greg captained Cronulla to their first 11-game winning streak in that 78 season. And as the club mourned his passing, there they were, fittingly, doing it again with 11 straight wins. And as I said afterwards, maybe a little breath from Greg Pearce blew that dodgy field goal attempt over.
Yeah, the Sharks are our $4 premiership favourites now, Matty. They were $4.25 prior to that win. The Cowboys are the second picks in the premiership market at $4.25, and Brisbane, they're $4.25 out to $5, along with Melbourne. The only other team under single figures at this stage is the Bulldogs, who are at $9. Having a look to this week's games, we have an absolute cracker on Friday night, Brisbane up against Melbourne.
Yeah, and I asked Stephen Blocker-Roach, not was who was going to win this one, but who was going to kick the winning field goal, because you might remember early this season they played an absolute belter, these teams, and really it should be that way again, barring the fact that the Broncos have fallen into a hole, winning one of their last five. I'm not prepared to dismiss their chances. They were so good at the start of the season. We were saying, stop the comp, play the Cowboys against the Broncos now in the grand final. That's how it looked. I think they can get that back once they shake off Origin. They've done it before in terms of falling in a mid-season hole and coming good. I'm not prepared to dismiss them yet. I think it'll be a great game, but I'm leaning the way of Melbourne. I just reckon that way they allowed the Tigers to come back on the weekend will make it feel like a loss to them, and I reckon they'll be really tuned up this week by Craig Bellamy to inflict more misery on Brisbane.
Now, this week, what other games do you like? What do you think is going to be the toughest?
The toughest game to pick could well be something like the Warriors against the Titans.
Yeah.
Because the Warriors go back home, and have they found this mid-season form during Origin? Well, I would think so. Having won three, then lost in golden point against the ladder leaders, they should beat the Titans. But the Titans have surprised us all season. They couldn't get over the top of the Canberra Raiders, but it's a tricky game for Gold Coast. And while the Warriors should win on paper, I'm not going to give it to them yet. You look at Tigers-Panthers too, a Western Sydney derby. The Tigers showed us what they can play like against Melbourne. If they like that against Penrith, they'll take some tossing. And then apart from that, Rabbitohs-Cowboys, you'd think that the Cowboys really put the final nail in the Rabbitohs coffin.
With the Warriors, the spruik was on them before the season, though, but it took them a long time to get going, didn't it?
It did, and they lost Roger Tuivasa-Sheck to that season-ending knee injury. His recruitment was part of the reason everyone was saying, watch the Warriors go this year. Well, they lost their star signing. Isaac Luke took a long time to get going as well. Only now they're starting to find some rhythm, and peculiarly, they left Tuimoloa here on the bench for the best part of 60 minutes against the Sharks. I would have thought there was a spot for Lolo here in that side somewhere. Sean Johnson is nursing a quad strain that we'll need to monitor leading into this game against the Titans, but we're still not sold on the Warriors.
Matt, one of the things that really irked me in this round that just finished was in the Dragons-Newcastle game. 3 minutes to go, Nathan Ross held down a Dragons player who had made a break, gets simbed for a professional foul. It is a professional foul every day of the week. The result was never in doubt anyway, so the foul gets called. He goes off for the last 2 minutes of the game. But Cameron Smith did the exact same thing in State of Origin 3 with probably about... State of Origin 2 with about 3 minutes to go. Again, the result was never in doubt at that point. But he got away with it. Now, for me, that's just a really frustrating thing, because all the fans want is consistency. And we saw two incidents, the exact same thing. One was penalised, one wasn't.
And that's been the gripe all season, hasn't it? We don't mind what the ruling is as long as it is consistent and you see a difference from week to week at the moment. That's what the referees are striving for, greater consistency. You raise a very good point. The other little asterisk there is that sometimes origins are judged a little bit differently to club games, but they shouldn't be. Fans want to sit in their lounge and know that they're going to get the same ruling they saw last week and the week before and the week before that. You look at the Sharks-Warriors game where there was that penalty try awarded, and again, lack of consistency. There have been other instances this year, Chris Lawrence, a good one at Leichhardt Oval against the Storm, where the penalty try call didn't come. And just as a little add-on to that, Ryan Hoffman argued that you can't be 100% certain that a try was going to be scored. Well, 100% doesn't come into it. I read the rules. As long as the referee has the opinion, is of the opinion a try would have been scored, then it should be a penalty try. So I think the ruling on Saturday night was correct. I think Jason Bikuya was going to score a try if not held back. But the problem being consistency. It's not in line with other rulings this season.
And do you think that's because too many rules these days are open to interpretation and that they're not simply black and white, as was the case many, many years ago?
Yeah, possibly. And look, the more black and white we have, the better, I believe. The game doesn't need any more grey. But when you look at that penalty try situation, it is grey. It is in the opinion of the referee, or in this case, the bunker official. Luke Patton was the man in the bunker on Saturday night. So, but I think generally you can come up with the opinion, yes, he would have scored, no, he wouldn't have, or yes, he was most likely to score, so we're going to give it to him. But this 100% argument that's being bandied about, nowhere in the rules does it say the referee has to be certain the try is going to be scored.
All you want is consistency, Matty, isn't it?
Yep, that's right, and that's what the bunker was brought in for, to try and achieve greater consistency. I don't think we've achieved that yet. Let's hope we do as the weeks tick by.
Hey, Matt, something interesting. The NRL introducing the Munchkin League. I reckon this is a great idea for the 3 to 5 year olds to get them active and learning. Just get them out, a bit of self-confidence, a bit of activity and a bit of exercise. Great idea.
I read that, Cosy, too. I think it's fantastic and what a great name, the Munchkin League.
A ripper.
We refer to the little Munchkins. And I love the thought of the Munchkin League, so long as all the parents and everyone watching the sideline realises that it's the Munchkin League. It's about having fun, a bit of exercise. Who cares what the score is? Just let them go out there and have some fun. Don't worry if the ball gets passed forwards, backwards. Who cares? Let's make sure standing on the sideline is one of the most joyful experiences we can have. It's not the NRL. The referees aren't deciding a grand final. Let's make sure we all behave ourselves properly.
And that the kids come off the ground covered in dirt, red-faced, and saying, I've had a ball. 1 minute I was out in the wing, then I was at fullback, and you know what? I had to go up being hooker as well.
I'd be happy for them to be covered in mud.
Yeah.
I hate seeing the games called off when a sprinkle of rain happens. Let them run in the puddles. That was the best part of playing footy as a kid, wasn't it?
Let them have fun. But you've hit the nail on the head, Matty. Tell the parents, button the lip.
Yeah. Sometimes I see a bird fly over a ground and relieve itself, and the ground's deemed too wet to play. It makes me irate.
Fair enough.
Play in the mud.
Exactly.
Don't call them off, councils. Let the play go on.
All right, mate. Good to catch up. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, Matt.
Indeed. I've enjoyed it. See you, boys.
Thanks a lot. Matty Russell joining us there from Fox Sports, looking at the NRL. That's a rip of the Munchkin League. I look forward to that one, Andrew, because the kids will have an absolute ball.
No, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would, Cozzy. And I think you made a good point. It's important that the parents just sit on the sidelines and just let the kids play. That's all they want to do.
And the other important thing, the refs will probably be not much older probably than the kids. Let them have fun too.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them enjoy
it. I mean, and like Maddie touched on, it's not the NRL. You're not deciding a grand final. Just let them get out there and get back to their roots. They just want to have fun.
Now, 24 past 10, we've got racing today at the Kempsey. I mean, we've had wet tracks, we've had meetings postponed, abandoned. Benny Looker must think, hang on, that made a bluey. It's fine, the good four, the rail true at Kempsey. Morning, Ben, how are you?
Good, thanks, how are you?
Good, a good four, mate. You won't know what to do on this, will you?
No, it's Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all on wet tracks. And I was meant to ride at Gunnedah yesterday and they were called off due to the state of the track, so it's good to get back onto a firmer footing today.
And Ben, I suppose this throws form a little bit into chaos, because with meetings off, horses miss runs, then you've got some who've raced on tracks that they may not have handled, and then all of a sudden they're back onto a good track. You've really got to do your homework a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of form coming from different areas. Sort of with Kempsey, you get a lot of mid-north coast form and you got a lot of northern rivers form. So a lot of them have been raced on wet tracks of late. So it'll be interesting to see how the form sort of holds up getting back onto firmer footing.
All right. Now, your first ride today in the third, I think you may have to weave a little bit of B-looker magic for Mr. Herdebel.
Yeah, he's been a bit disappointing of late. So early days, he looked like he was going to win a maiden nice and easy, but he just hasn't gone on with it yet. He's on the quick backup after racing at Coffs Harbour on Friday, but he's run a nice alley. And if he gets the right run, he's a chance of running top three with a bit of luck.
All right, now Stella's Chance in the fourth over the 1900 had a run over 2200 Doomba the other day. And it showed pace. Dropping back, probably the 1900 might suit a bit better, do you think?
I think so. I don't think she's really quite as seasoned sort of staying horse at the moment. Coming back to the 1900 and coming back to sort of class one and maiden sort of race is going to suit her a lot. Doesn't look to be the overly strongest sort of field. Obviously, the top weight's got the exposed form, Kibachi, but she's down on the weight. She's drawn the one alley and she's a chance of running a big show.
Now, Arabian Falcon in the fifth up to the 1450, you rode it last start. They put the tongue tie on. Is that something you suggested?
Yeah, I did. I rode it the other day and she just sort of was, she gave me the impression she was wanting to play with the tongue a bit. Even when I went for her, she wanted to sort of lay in and not fully concentrate. But Andrew's chucked the tongue tie on it today. And if she gets a bit of luck, she's drawn just an awkward gate in barrier 8, but if she can get a bit of luck from the alley, I think she's a very live chance.
Well, the tongue tie's not going to hurt her, is it?
No, definitely not. I was a maiden on her sort of 4 months ago when a past trainer had her, and she's sort of always been a horse that's sort of promised a lot. Hopefully with this tongue tie going on today, she can deliver.
All right, race 5 and Costa Jewel, and this has had 2 runs back from a spell. Often needs a run or two to come right, and it hasn't been far off the mark, and it's been getting home a bit.
Yeah, I don't mind her today. She's had the 2 runs back, and like you said, she's not a real good fresh horse, but both of her runs back, just watching the replay, they've been encouraging runs. She gets up to a suitable trip today, and she's on a nice gate, not the strongest race, and I think she's definitely an each-way chance.
Rightio, Ben, race 7, you're on Invincible Eagle. You've drawn out in the bleachers, but it's got pace, so will you probably come across?
Yeah, ideally. I'd like to settle just in behind the speed. He used to be a horse that could race a little bit fierce, but I don't think he's going to really get on the bridle in this sort of race today. There's plenty of speed in it, which is probably ideal for him. So you overdo it in front, he's going to be the horse running home.
All right, now viewers today, what's your pick?
I think Arabian Falcon, if she gets luck from the alley, she's going to be very hard to beat. And I think in Costa Jewel and Invincible Eagle are definitely trade chances.
All right, and for a change today, after the last, you won't just walk into the showers and take your gear with you to clean it. You'll be right.
Yeah, I've seen sort of the gear's only been getting off wash lately because we're in the car and going to another race meeting. So I've got the rest of the week off. I don't ride to the Gold Coast Saturday now, so get a couple of nice, quiet, relaxing days at home.
Well, terrific. Well, good luck today. Let's hope there's some spending money comes out of today for you, Ben.
Too easy. Thanks very much.
Good on you, Ben. Ben Looker there. And he's got some nice rides today, Andrew, at Kempsey.
Yeah, that's right. Stella's Chance, $2.80 in that fourth event. And in the fifth, he is riding the favourite there in... Who was it again?
Race 5. He is on Arabian Falcon.
Yeah, Arabian Falcon. The boys have got it at $3.20, and we have seen some good money for it already. So maybe that's the one to follow.
All right, terrific. Mate, good to catch up. We'll talk to you throughout the day.
No worries, Quasi.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Giorgio there. Now, just confirming those Totes Addington, the first as they go to the boxes, the second. One Charlie Runkle, 170, 140. Two Tricky Action, 390. Nine Ben Jamming, no third, fourth, eight. And there was Black Triax. Now, arriving at the boxes, race 2.
3-7, 2-4, 8 and leg 2. Just the two runners in the third leg of the quaddy, 1 and 5, finishing up with 3 and 8. And they're about to be locked up here for the first of the quaddy legs. And on the tote, Sweet Abby Lee, round about $2.60. 5.40, Bellway, 5.50, Adrenaline Kick, and you're getting out to about 6.40 for Magic Dozer. So Bellway being pushed in there along with Sweet Abby Lee. Magic Dozer, Adrenaline Kick, Katie Ada, Haley James and King Caesar. First leg of the quaddy, race two, the Happy Birthday Shirley McMillan Dash. Green light is through and the lure rolling. Ready for the second. All set. And racing, one of the best out wide, Magic Dozer down on the inside. Bell Wavers tried to kick through. Then we've got Sweet Abby Lee coming around wide as King Caesar. Back we go, length for two, Adrenaline Kick on the corner. Magic Dozer nicely clear out after it quickly. King Caesar might be doing the better. They get to the line. King Caesar, I think, nosed out. Magic Dozer four lengths away. Bell Wave down on the inside. They were followed by the next one. There was Katie Adit, Sweet Abby Lee, and towards the back.
Celia Hall is
8-7-1, the number's there. Number 8, King Caesar, 11.95.90. Second, 7, Magic Dozer, probably 2.70. The 1, Bell Wave, will get third, and it'll pay 2.70. So it looks like 8.7.1. We will confirm those numbers shortly for you. 10.30, Sky Sports Radio.
Start every race day with Sky Sports Radio.
Racing HQ, Tab Talk at 10 in the early mail has it all.
With interviews and previews from the best form analysts.
Plus, it's crystal clear on digital radio.
Sky Sports Radio.
You cannot be serious!
I assure you I am.
This is unbelievable!
What can I say? Tab serves up clear winners.
I just can't believe this!
Get ready for Wimbledon with Tab. Right now, we've got some great offers available across the tournament, as well as dozens of markets, including head-to-head, total sets over-under, and game line. Get all the offer and odds details at tab.com.au. Get on now at your local Tab or download our app today.
Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the Wells West.
Hong Kong. Singapore. Japan. Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Sydney Spring Carnival is back this September at Royal Randwick and Rose Hill Gardens. Indulge yourself this spring with a premium hospitality package offering first-class dining in luxurious surrounds. Plus, witness exhilarating racing with superior views of the home straight. Experience the carnival in style and be a part of the electrifying atmosphere as Sydney comes to life. Book your hospitality package today at theatc.com.au.